So now we will be doing our Bible reading. We will be reading the whole chapter of Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well. And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. I'll now pass on to Reverend Dean.
Fantastic. Thanks, Phoebe. Just trying to get my technology up and running. I use a remote control here. Technology is crazy, isn't it? Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's actually the devil's work. All right. Well, Christmas is over, certainly over in a good and true way. And I like to describe that now in the lazy season. Christmas time is the silly season. Now it's the lazy season. And lazy season, really, because this is the time when everyone's on holidays, isn't it? This is the time when work slows down. And I know for myself, when I was working in the tax office, normally, you know, you take your whole annual leave, but I, you know, that's not the time you take annual leave. Well, not in the tax office because there's no one at work. I go there, work slow, you come in there, you play cards, you know, for half the time, make personal phone calls. And, oh, yeah, you do the office work and things like that. But there's no one there in the office. So it's a lazy season. But it's amazing how crazy the last year, indeed the last 2 years have been. And it's crazy how quickly the year has gone by. So it is appropriate now, being the last Sunday of the year, to look back over 2021, if not 2020, and just to see what it is that year was all about, right? And for that reason, I actually want to look at the book of Ecclesiastes, but really the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes. Of course, the teacher, traditionally known as Solomon in this case, was one who's gone on a long journey, and now he's come to the end of his journey. He looks back on life and he draws some important conclusions. And I think for that reason, similar to us, we've gone on a long journey for the last couple of years. It's good to look back and to see what are some things, the big take-home points, the big lessons that we've learned from this year as we launch into 2022. Well, I want to look at Ecclesiastes, but to provide some sort of context for those who don't know Ecclesiastes, great, good. Just to make sure my slides are okay. Ecclesiastes belongs to a category of books in the Bible known as the wisdom literature. You have the Gospels, you have the letters in the New Testament, you have the prophets, you have the historical narratives, you have laws, you have poetry. But Ecclesiastes belongs to a category known as the wisdom literature. And in this category, they're generally well-known three books in particular, Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. And each one really takes dives deep into what the world is actually like. How does the world run in actual practice? You see, where the rest of the Bible tells us very clearly what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, the wisdom literature tells us that life is a bit more complex than that. There is this sort of gray zone of messiness in the world that's very hard to work out how to navigate through. Well, that's what the wisdom literature seeks to do for us. It helps us to navigate through the sort of craziness of this messy world. Let me give you an idea how it works, okay? Now, being an Asian church, we love what? Mathematics, don't we? All right? Mathematics, all right? So this is how it works. Proverbs. Let me ask you guys. Now, I know Tim's the English teacher here, but let's see how his math is. 1 + 1, Tim, what's that equal? 2. Alvin, you want to second that?
11.
All right, let's ask him again. Right. Well, I'll tell you what. You actually were right, Tim. Congratulations. All right, 2. Job, what's the equation there? 1 + 1 equals what? Anyone want to give it a shot? Ziggy, come on, you're a doctor. What is it? Okay, Joe. Come on, it's not that hard, is it? A bunch of chickens. Well, here it is. Job is 1 + 1 = 3. And you think, hold on, that's wrong. And that's precisely the point of Job. Job tells us, when you look at Proverbs, life is very orderly and predictable. You do the right thing, you get right outcomes. You work hard and you get the benefits, right? You do the wrong thing and you get punished. Job says, well, that's right, but it's not completely right because life is a bit more messy than that. You do the right thing, you could get it in the neck. You work hard and you might still lose out at the end. You can do the wrong thing and you can actually get away with murder in this world. Because you look at life and say, that's just so wrong. And that's precisely the book of Job. Life is not as simple as the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is right in part, but life is more complex than that. There is something which is completely, completely wrong about life. You and I feel about it at times. When you say, that's not fair, you're echoing Job. When you say, that's wrong, I did the hard work, why is it not getting a reward? You're echoing what Job is feeling. Okay. Well, what about Ecclesiastes? What about Ecclesiastes? What? 1? 0? Anyone else? Rishi? Come on, you told English once. No idea. Well, Ecclesiastes is very simple, right? It's a question mark. Why is that? Because when you look at Ecclesiastes, what's it saying words? It's that life is messy. Ecclesiastes, I don't know what to do with life. And one time it works, another time it's unfair, but then sometimes it's just totally unpredictable. Ecclesiastes brings the other side about what life is like. And that's why it's important when you want to understand how to navigate through life, read through these three books together. Because together they help you navigate through this crazy, crazy world that we call life. That the one time you do the right thing, you get the right outcome. But there are times when you do the right thing and you get the wrong outcome. And there's time when you do the right thing and you don't know what comes out of it. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. Well, today I want to look at 4 points as we think about the end of the year. And these are the 4 points. Life is messy. There are no guarantees. The most important thing in life is to fear God, keep his commands. To fear God and keep his commands is the whole duty of man. And what God calls us to do is what God is doing in us. So let's zero on each point. The first one. Life is messy and there are no guarantees. Have a listen to how this this verse starts off. Notice how what he says, right? Now, all has been heard. All has been heard. You see, Solomon has been on a crazy journey through the world. He's gone to basically, he wants to understand what life is all about. And so what he's done too, he's gone through journeys of all the highs and the lows that people experience. He's gone into people's homes. He's gone into the dark valleys. He's watched, he observed, he's listened very carefully. He has spared his eyes nothing. He's been really brutally honest about the world, and he wants to see for himself what life is all about. Now, that's a very different to, can I say, for us, when we want to understand what life is about. You see, we know about this idea of our consumerist society, don't we? Just think about the Boxing Day sale, which is happening even at this very minute, the Boxing Day sale, where everyone's after just yesterday, it's all about peace and joy. Now we're just scrambling and fighting each other, get the latest sale. But there's one other side of life which we often forget about. And what is that? That is, the world is often described as the entertainment world. What do we mean by the entertainment world? That is that the life is all about fun and games. Life is all about partying and pleasure. Life is all about feeling good. It's all about finding the next high. And so the greatest crime in this world, you know what the greatest crime in this world is? It's boredom. That's what it is. It's boredom. You know, it's wrong to be bored. And so everything is aimed to entertain us, to make us feel good. Now, if that's the way we understand life, then what happens when you come face-to-face reality and the dark side of life? You know what people do? They try to run away from it. They get into drugs. Why? Because they want to hide themselves away from the dark side of life because they want to feel good about things. They get into drinking. Why? Because they want to hide away from all their problems because they want to feel good. Some people go into porn because they want to hide away from the reality and just find something that makes them feel good and give them a good release. But it may not be that. That may not describe you. For other people more like us, you know what we tend to do? We go into our nice suburbs, often gated suburbs, just to keep the bad side out. We go into these places where everything's good, everything's nice, everyone's friendly and so on. They keep the riffraff people out and the dark side. We basically are people which is aren't who basically, to be honest, we are people who bury our head in the sand. Solomon was not like that. He didn't want to bury his head in the sand. He wanted to have an honest, raw, and brutal look at what life is really like. And so that's why he says, when all has been heard, he means it. He has been honest with himself. He's been honest with life. He wants to take a brutal and honest and real look at life. And so having looked at life, he now draws his conclusion. He draws a conclusion. And what does he conclude from all that? Well, he basically, his conclusion is there is no certainty and there's no guarantees in life. That's his conclusion. There are no certainties and there are no guarantees in life. Have a look at this particular passage earlier on in the book of Ecclesiastes. Here, in the middle of his journey, Solomon's short-term conclusion. Notice what he says here. So I reflected on all this and concluded. He's looked back already and concluded. And what has he concluded? Well, have a look what he says in verse 1, that the righteous and the wise. Now, you know who the righteous and the wise are? He's not talking about the bad and the wicked people, the righteous and the wise. He's talking about those people who truly love God. He's talking about those people who belong to God. Okay, so he's talking about the good and the righteous people. What does he conclude about them? He concludes, and well, they're in God's hands, right? That's one thing we all want. If you're a believer, you want to be in the middle of God's hand. They often say the safest place to be in this world is in God's hands. Well, that's what he's saying. But here's the crazy thing. Look at what he says here. But no one knows whether love or hate awaits him. Now, I want you to pause and think about that. Here's a person who loves God. He's a person who believes that he's in God's hand. He believes that God is sovereign. He's in God's hand. Every step of the way, he's in God's hand. But yet he's concluded, even though I'm in God's hand, God does not guarantee blessings and sunny days. He does not promise that. In fact, you don't even know what the future lies. As far as God is concerned, it might be love or it might be hatred. It might be sunny days all the way or might be stormy days every day. Being in God's hands does not necessarily mean that it's all blessings and sunny days. Let me tell you the story. In other words, what he says, the future is uncertain and there are no guarantees in life. A few years ago, I had a pastor friend in Singapore, and he was thinking about doing some postgraduate studies in ministry in the United States. And so he spent a lot of time praying to the Lord for wisdom and for guidance, spent a lot of time talking to his wife, talking to his family, talking to friends at church, whether he should go. And after much prayer and discussion and reflection, he said, yes, he felt that God was leading him to the United States. So he packed up his bag for about 6 months travel to go to the United States to do some postgraduate studies. When he landed in the States, not long after that, he contracted a rare, deadly disease. He was hospitalized for many months, and he almost died as a result of that. And you ask the question, well, what happened there? Did he actually misread God's leading? Did he not talk about it to enough people? Was he maybe just fooling himself? Was the peace that he had nothing more than just a good meal that he had after dinner or whatever? Well, maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But I think the simple answer could be answered this way. And that is what Ecclesiastes says is, well, that's life. That's life. You see, there are no certainties. Even you're in the hand of God. You don't know what the future God has in store for you. It could be love or it could even be hatred. It could be lovely days or not, if not stormy days. Because why? The first point is that life is messy and there are no guarantees. Last 2 years have testified to that. Even for us believers, there are no guarantees. No guarantees whatsoever. Life is messy. You know it. I know it. We all know it. That comes to my second point. The most important thing in life is to fear God and keep his commands. Have a look again in verse 13. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Okay, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commands. Fear God and keep his commands. Two very important things he wants to focus on. Let's talk about fearing God. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to fear God? Now, when we come across this, our instinct, our first idea is to fear God means to be afraid of God. And that's the idea that we need to live in a state of absolute terror and fear of God. That's how people understand it. To fear God means to be afraid of God. But if that's the case, then it's not surprising that people say, well, that's wrong.
We shouldn't fear God. Why is that? Because to live in a state of terror and constant fear, so to speak, is actually unhealthy. It's not good. It's not good for your mental well-being. It's wrong. Let's not talk about fear of God. Let's talk about the God's love. Let's not talk about his anger or his wrath. Let's talk about God's love, his kindness. But here's the problem. The Bible strongly emphasizes the fear of God. It says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, the Bible says that the fear of God is actually good. The fear of God is actually wholesome. The fear of God is actually good for your well-being. Have one of these verses here in, say, the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs says the fear of the Lord, what is a fountain of life? Or this one here. The fear of the Lord leads to life in Book of Proverbs. Then one rests content. See, the fear of God leads to contentment. Unworried by all the troubles. That is to say, the fear of God is a positive thing. So what does the Bible mean by the fear of God? I think the fear of God here, when you look at the Bible, it carries with it the idea of standing in awe of God. Standing in awe of God. It is recognizing God for who he is and what he is like. It is about taking God seriously. It's about treating God as God deserves to be treated. Not like just a mate, not casually, but give him the honor that he deserves. Let me give you an example. Just imagine that you're in the United States Army. You're a little sort of corporal. And you know about this, the guy in charge is this four-star general who is an inspiration to everyone. Loved by all his men. A hero who not only loved by all his men because he loves his men. He will die for his men. He will stand up for them. He is a person who cares for them with deep, deep compassion. But just imagine the four-star general comes walking past you and say, hey, mate, and you put your arms around him, how are you going? And you think to yourself, hold it. Now, Bill, you just don't do that. He might be an inspiration. He might love you guys, but you just don't treat him like that. There is dignity. There is respect. There is the proper protocol in treating this four-star general. Oh, let's imagine a little girl who goes up to the old auntie and says, how are you going, dear? You just don't do that. There's a proper way of approaching different people. When we say that we've talked about the fear of God, it means standing in awe of God, recognizing God for who he is, what is he like, treating God as God deserves, giving him the due honor and respect that is appropriate to him, standing in awe of God. So when the Bible calls upon to fear God, it really means that, to stand in awe of him. But fearing God is not just an attitude of how you feel towards God. It is also an action of how you act before God. And so the Bible calls, and the second point that he's come to conclude, the second most important thing in life is to keep his commands. Now, the commands, we know his commands, they're the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments basically summarize everything that God wants from his people. But even the Ten Commandments we can summarize and reduce into two commandments. Remember what Jesus said? What is the greatest command? Jesus said, well, the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And the second one is like that, is to love one another. And so the Ten Commandments can be reduced down to two commandments. That's to love God and love others. And Ecclesiastes says this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, to love God and to love others. And so the most important thing in life is to fear God and keep his commands, or put another way, to love God and to love others. Well, this comes to my third point. To fear God and keep his command is the whole duty of man. It is the responsibility of every single living creature throughout history. Have a look at what he says here in verse 13. Fear God and keep his commands. What? For this is the duty. It's the obligation of all mankind. It's an obligation of all mankind. Think about what the, just pause about and reflect over what this guy's gone through, what he's observed. He's gone through all the highs and lows of life. He's gone through all the dark valleys. He's gone into the nooks and the crannies and alleyways. He's seen into people's lives and listened to all their gossip. He's gone to the workplace and he's just see how confusing, messed up, mixed up, uncertain, no guarantees what life is like. But he's concluded one thing about this. After all has been said and done, I've just realized this one thing. Here's the two most important things everyone is obligated to do. And that is to fear God and keep his command, because this is the duty of all mankind. You see, you think about it. Why does this happen? Well, the answer is very simple. So that you might learn to fear God and keep his command. Why did that happen? The answer is simple. So that you can learn to fear God and keep his commands. Or just think about it, right? Go back the last 2 years. You might have planned all these wonderful holiday trips and then it just COVID hits and everything just falls flat. And you ask the question, why did that happen? And not only do your travel plans get lost, you actually lose all your money. You no longer can see your relatives that you've been wanting to see for many years, but now you cannot see them. And you ask, why? And Solomon's answer is very simple. So that you can learn to fear God and keep his commands, so that you can learn to love God and love others. Or just think you started a business and you've been just dying to start this business. Then COVID hits and everything falls apart. You lose the business. You end up bankrupt. And you ask, why? What in heaven's name did this? Why did this happen to me? And the answer, Solomon's answer is very simple. Very simple. So you learn to fear God and keep his command. Or rather, more specifically, so you learn to love God and love others. All your friends are getting married and you're single. And you ask, why? What have I done wrong? Why am I alone in this world? And the Bible's answer is very simple. So that you can learn to love God and love others. Or you've been in a relationship for many years and suddenly you get the bad news that your partner wants to walk away and you ask you why. Or you've grown up in a very broken family. All your friends have nice families, but you are growing up in a broken family. You ask you why. What did I do to deserve this? Or you hear the bad news that your child has got cancer. Or you're working your guts out to get to study for the exams, then guess what? You sleep in and you miss exam. Why? Because you forgot to turn the alarm on. Or you're gunning for this top job. You work your butt out to get that job, but in the end, when HR calls in, they say, sorry, we're now doing some reshuffling and you've lost your job. Or you're getting married, you plan all, and then the whole wedding is a shipwreck. And you ask the question, why? What did I do wrong? And maybe you did nothing wrong. Maybe you did something wrong. But here's the question that we need to be asking. Did you fear God? Did you keep his commands? Because really, at the end of the day, those are the two most important questions. Those are the questions which God puts before us in this messy, crazy, mixed up world. as we look back over 2020, 2021, the question on our mind or in God's mind is, did you fear me? Did you keep my commands? Did you love me? Did you love others? Oh, let's talk another way. Maybe another describes you. Life is fantastic. Life is absolutely fantastic. You have a great job. You're married and you're enjoying married life. You are a great family. You just came back from a fantastic holiday. Your health is awesome. And you ask, man, I've done everything right. And the Bible says, no, you're wrong. Because the question, that's not life. Because just as wonderful it is, it can quickly get undone. Because at the end of the day, the big question which God puts to you, whether life is going well or life is just basically stuffed up, is, did you fear God? Did you keep his commands? Because to fear God and to keep his command is the whole duty of man. So you look back over 20 and 21, with all its mess and mixed upness and the broken plans, those were simply the two questions you need to ask. How did I go fearing God? How did I go loving others around me? That leads to my fourth point. What God calls us to do is what God is doing in us. What God calls us to do, God is doing in us. Have a look at, there's a one famous passage, Romans 8:28. I think we would know this passage, you're a Bible reader. And look at what this says here. Look at the opening verse, which is the well-known passage here. We know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And the question we often ask, well, what is this good? What is this good? Well, the answer is given to us. The good is according to his purpose. Well, what is it? So therefore, it's not surprising that one of the big questions that consumers, what has God called me to do? And therefore, has he called me to be the great accountant? Therefore, I've got to look for that. Does he call me to get married? Call me single? Call me to live there? So we're always trying to work out what God's will for me in my life is, because that will be the ultimate good, right? So we spend lots of time in guidance seminar asking people and praying. But here's the funny thing. Paul actually tells us what that good is without any second guessing. Look at what it says here. For those God foreknew, he also predestined, what? To be conformed to the image of his son. What is it that God has called us to? To be like his son. What is the good that God has called, wants to give us? To be like his son. You see, what Paul is saying is everything happens in our life, everything without exception, happens in your life for your good. Everything. The bad news about health, the good news about a job, the bad news about relationship, the good news about travel plans, the bad news about this and so on. All that is working together for your good. And what is the good? To make you more like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the only man in human history who feared God and kept his commands. He is the only man who loved God with all his mind, body, and soul, and he loved others perfectly. So it stands to reason that what God calls us to do is what he's doing in us by making us more like Jesus. Well, let's come back to our equation then. How do we finish off this equation? 1 + 1 = 2. If you read Proverbs, good. 1 + 1 = 3. If you read the book of Job, and remember, you've got to read the two together. What about Ecclesiastes? Well, Ecclesiastes is very simple. 1 + 1 = Jesus. Because at the end of the day, after all has been said and done, what does God call us to do? To fear him, to keep his commands. At the end of the day, what does God call us to do? To be like Jesus. You know, 2021 is over. Well, in a few days, 2022 is coming upon us. And I think we all know, it's been a crazy 2 years. And you know, if anything, we've learned that our plans are never certain or guaranteed. What about next year? What about next year? What are your plans for next year? What are your hopes and dreams? I can tell you now, there's no certainty. There's no guarantee. You can have your plans about wedding or reception or marriage. That's great, but it can fall apart all of a sudden. You can actually build your business, and that's great if it grows, but don't be surprised if it suddenly collapses on you. You can do all you can to keep healthy and stay good, but don't be surprised you walk out one day and you get smashed by a car and your whole life goes out the window. There's no certainty about the future. No guarantee. Absolutely no guarantee. If anything we've learned from the last 2 years, that is what we're going to go into next year. But here's the question we can be sure, and these are the questions we need to ask. How can I fear God? How can I love others? How can I be like Jesus? Because you know why? After all has been said and done, here's the conclusion of the matter. To love God, to fear God, to love others, to be like Jesus is really the whole duty of mankind. Let me pray. Father, we give you thanks. Well, there's been a crazy, crazy mixed up year of broken plans, dreams that have become nightmares. But sometimes it has been good days and there are also bad days. As we go into 2022, we no doubt go into the same sort of craziness and mixed upness of the year. We will have our plans, Lord. We have our dreams, have ideas, but there's no certainty. We don't know whether love or hate awaits us. But Father, we do know this one thing that you keep asking us some simple questions. How can we fear you? How can we love you more? How can we keep your commands? How can we obey? How can we love others? How can we be more like Jesus? Pray this in His name. Amen. Over to Shireen.